And if he's not already done it before, he should probably look into doing it, is record himself on YouTube, but he might need permissions of the people checking in. I don't know how the laws work up there in Canada with copyright laws and recording people's audio and video. But he could probably become monetized because he's quite the TV personality that's not on TV yet.
Oh, there's a net control up here that does do that. He live streams his net control activities in his radio room on YouTube. Yeah, that's Paul, VE7VP. Yeah. On the Rainbow Country Net. He did a major New Year's Day broadcast there on live on YouTube, but he's doing it too, and he's doing net control duties.
Yep, it's not unusual. There's a guy on the Columbia Basin net, which is on 3.960 every night at 1800. But he used to live in Linwood. Now he lives in Marysville, but his name is Drew, and he drives a Subaru Outback that has this wild antenna system on there. He drove all the way from this side of the mountains over to Moses Lake, and I met him at a picnic. But he used to host the Saturday night net for Columbia Basin net, but he used to YouTube it also so you could hear yourself check in and check out how your signals sound on his end. Very, very cool. And then there's also a pilot that I know that I've talked to when he was flying around Mount Baker. I talked to him from a 5-watt handheld hooked up to a disco and an antenna from a house, and he recorded on YouTube. So very, very cool.
Oh, on 80 meters. I wonder if Merlin could hear that one from his location. Yeah, Moses Lake, that's getting some distance away. Central Washington State, Moses Lake.
Well, Jim, the Columbia Basin net, they have a different net controller each night, and then sometimes they have alternates. I'm one of their alternates. I've probably been called in about 5 or 7 times over the years since COVID. But it varies on who the net controller is. And so Drew used to live in Linwood. Then he lived in Marysville, Washington, on this side of the mountains. But some of the net controllers live as far east as Montana or down in Nevada. And so it's just a good way to check your signal every day because, you know, band conditions vary. And just a lot of fun on seeing who you could receive. But it's 3.960 every night, 1800. And then simultaneously on 3.980 is the Oregon Emergency Net. But they go all the Oregon stations first, and then they do Washington. So by that time, it's almost 7 o'clock by the time I check in.
Oh, yeah, and there's nets. The Northern Net, the Aurora Net, the Yukon Net. I'm not sure if they have one in Alaska, but yeah, I think those are on the 40-meter band, 40 and 80 nets on those two bands.
I used to check into one every day on 40 meters. I think it was on, I got it written down on a post-it note somewhere around here, but every day from about 9 o'clock to noon, I want to say 7.283 megahertz. Yeah, the noontime net, but it usually starts about 9 a.m.
Oh, upper part of the 40-meter band. Oh, there's a net that Merlin is quite active on, the Triple H net, if you know that one, on 7190. If Merlin's on the frequency, he could fill us in on that one.
Merlin went to make us all food, remember? I was helping them stir the pot.
Oh, kitchen duties.
And Merlin, we're hoping this does not involve brownies, because if I'm helping stir the pot, we don't need brownies. radio silence.
Like that song by Simon and Garfunkel, The Sounds of Silence.
It was written on the subway in tenement halls.
Yeah, written on the subway walls. Yeah, we do have subways here. I don't know if there's graffiti artists writing on their walls, though. I think security stops them from doing that.
Well, nowadays, James, you can't get away with any of the fun stuff that people used to do 50 years ago because there's a darn surveillance camera everywhere.
Yeah, the old days, you could do a lot of things. Kind of hard nowadays to not be observed. Including dash cam video. Police are always asking for, do you have dish, do you have dash cam video of this? They report an incident and then request anybody with dash cam video to contact them.
So many different surveillance cameras, and for 10 years I used to belong to Toastmasters International, where you give speeches every week. Everybody in the meeting doesn't give it, but you watch three speeches, you evaluate three speeches, and then you learn how to do public speaking. Break.
Oh, yeah.
And you meet people from all over the world. But one of the speeches I did was about a surveillance state. And so I still have my office up in Bellingham. I used to drive to Anacortes once a week to go to Toastmasters. And I would usually exchange files with clients, so that means it was a tax-deductible trip as far as the mileage went, but I would simultaneously go to an Italian restaurant in Anacortes once a week and meet for Toastmasters, and one of the speeches I gave on how many surveillance cameras I counted between my office and when I got to the pizza parlor, Italian restaurant in Anacortes, and it was like 30-something. I said, these are just the ones that I see, right? And so you're not going from point A to point B without being tracked. And so, like I said, it's a blessing and a curse. It's a blessing to law enforcement, but you can't do the things that you used to do. And my son got pulled over for doing 105 on the freeway on Christmas Eve, and I heard all on the scanner. It's like, please let this be another person with the same name and birth date. But it's like, back then everybody had a cell phone, right? So it's like, someone called in on 911, the rest is history. Anyway, KSMTOY, I'm all about freedom.
Oh, yeah. It's a different world we live in. Yep. Whole new ball game.
My wife, KI7TOR, Gail, she smokes cigarettes. So we were at Seaside, Oregon for the annual CPAC ham convention. And so she has a Walmart membership. So we're staying in the condo up there, and we're staying on the street side view, so we didn't have an oceanfront view, but we're like 2 blocks away from the convention. So she's out there smoking a cigarette on the balcony, and I'm inside, and the phone rings in the condo at the front desk, and they go, hello, we just want you to know that there's no smoking on the premises. And so I said, okay, thanks. And so I go outside, and I tell Gail, I said, hey, do you know there's no smoking on here? She goes, yeah, there's a sign right there. I said, well, then why are you smoking? She goes, why did you turn me in? I said, I didn't turn you in. Somebody else called in on it, right? So then fast forward about 15 minutes.
Oh, boy. So they're even spying you on the balcony. Oh, boy. Hard to get away with anything.
No, what it was is the neighbor on the next balcony had their patio door open, Jim, and they must have smelled it and peeked outside and saw my wife, Gail. She's usually reading something because she's a bookworm and smoking cigarettes, probably drinking coffee. but I'm the guy that answers the phone in the room. Okay, fine, I'll go out and tell her. But then 15 minutes, it rings again, and Gail had already gone down to the lobby to the designated smoking area and smoked a cigarette and came back, and she was back in the condo, and the hotel front desk called in, "We told you you can't smoke here." I said, "Look, tell your snitch that they better verify their information first. My wife just walked across your lobby, and she's probably in your surveillance footage going to your smoking area. So tell whoever called this in, they better verify the facts before they go blame them on people." But good God, the society we live in.
Oh, boy. They run a tight ship there at that place. Yeah, somebody with a very sensitive nose detected it. Yeah, hard to get away with stuff like that. I suppose if you're on the top floor and it drifted upwards, wouldn't be much of a problem, but if you're below something, drifts upwards. Yeah, one of those things.
No, I think it was the couple next door on the next balcony over. But it's like, choose your battles in life. It's a frickin' cigarette. You're probably going to live, you know?
Oh, yeah, it would depend on the air currents. Or the air may have even been sucked into their open balcony doors there or something like that and detected it. Oh, boy. Yes. Good thing there's no cigar smoking. They sure would have noticed that. A cigar emporium. We have those in Vancouver. Cigar emporiums, they're called. I guess you go in there for the aroma.
Jim, I am actually a cigar smoker, but I don't think I've smoked one in probably a month, and I tell my wife, Gail, I said, I can go about 1 or 2 months without smoking a cigar, and then sometimes I maybe want to smoke 2 in 1 day, depending on what the occasion is, what kind of mood I'm in. But that being said, is one time we were in Vancouver when we were first dating, so this is over 20 years ago, and Gail smuggled the back end of a Cuban cigar back into the U.S. that I had smoked on the back balcony of a condo that we were renting back when you could smoke on the back balcony. And so I put it in tinfoil, and I was meaning to throw away before we left, and she brings it across customs or anything like that, and then she shows me the next weekend. I'm on my back porch. I said, "You smuggled this Cuban cigar across the Canadian border? No harm, no foul. Let's smoke it."
Oh, yeah, that brings to memory when Bill Clinton was here in Vancouver. He was buying something or bought something here that you could not get in the United States. The President of the United States here in Vancouver, he bought Cuban cigars, which you could not get in the U.S. because of the embargo. So that was a funny story.
John F. Kennedy started this nonsense against Fidel Castro to get back at him. It's like, all you did is you just increased the demand for Cuban cigars in the U.S. But that being said, I've smoked cigars from the Dominican Republic, Nicaragua, all sorts of different places down there in the good places where they grow the good tobacco. But it's like, yeah, Cuban cigars are good, but it all depends on who's making them.
Yeah, Cuba, it's not the only game in town. There's a lot of other countries down that way that do it, I'm sure, with just as good quality of tobacco. I guess it's not the same as, like, Virginia tobacco. It's a special type of the way that they do it there. Yeah, yeah, I remember that story. The President of the United States couldn't get them in the U.S., so he bought them in Vancouver. Cigars, Cuban cigars, that is. In Gastown at that, him and his entourage were downtown, not only blocks away from where Merlin is.
That is funny, because way, way back when, probably 30 plus years ago, I was in Gastown and I went to a comedy club there, and my wife and I had a hotel at the Best Western near Stanley Park, and we had to get back from the comedy club back to the Best Western. We had, had this old beat-up Mazda, a compact car back then, and so I'm driving the darn Mazda back from the comedy club, and I think I probably had maybe three beers over the course of maybe 4 hours because there was a bunch of comics. And then so this long before GPS and cell phones, so I'm heading toward the hotel, and I enter this RCMP roadblock, right? And they got these flashlights pointed at everybody, you know, like that.